Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're going to learn how our Afghan guests here in the United States are doing, and we're going to check in with the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Sean Mankey.
In 1914, a Blackfoot Indian named Red Fox James rode horseback across the country seeking approval for a day to honor American Indians. On December 14, 1915, he presented endorsements from 24 state governments at the White House. But despite his best efforts, a national day was never proclaimed. That changed in 1990 when President George H.W. Bush proclaimed November as National American Indian Heritage Month. Every year since 1994, Americans celebrate what is now known as Native American Heritage Month. As we recognize their vibrant culture, we must also remember the painful history they've endured. Despite centuries of forced assimilation and injustice, Native Americans held on to their traditions and languages. That kind of perseverance proved vital in World War II when Native American code talkers helped turn the tides of battle by providing rapid and undecipherable communications. On behalf of the Minnesota National Guard, please join me in celebrating and remembering the invaluable contributions of Native Americans throughout the history of our nation.
Thank you, General Mankey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is Brigadier General Dan Gabrielli, who is the Assistant Adjutant General of the Minnesota Air National Guard. General Gabrielli, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hey, thanks, Tom. It's great to be back. I haven't talked to you in a while, so it's really good to talk to you again.
Sir, it's been a while. I think the last time you were on, you were the commander of the 133rd Airlift Wing and a colonel. Congratulations on receiving a star, sir.
Oh, thanks, Tom. I really appreciate it. Just proud to be able to keep serving the Minnesota National Guard and the greater DOD and Air Force as I'm doing now.
General, you've had a catbird seat the last couple of years watching our Minnesota Army and Air National Guard. They've had deployments on the federal side and on the state side. They were called up to state duty for to help with the pandemic in many different ways and some support for local police on some things that were going on. I understand they put in over 100,000 man days in the last year in support of the state of Minnesota. Busy time at the Minnesota National Guard.
Oh, absolutely, Tom. And that's it's come full circle paradigm wise. I just remember when I was, a younger major or a captain, and state active duty was a very, very small part of what we ever ended up doing. We were more into our warfighting mission and deploying since 9/11. Doing Title X work and then preparing and training for that kind of mission. And then when COVID and obviously the George Floyd killing and what all that created within the state, it really created an atmosphere of a lot of state active duty where a lot of our young airmen and soldiers really understand state active duty a lot better than my generation did. And actually it gave true meaning to what we do as guardsmen. So in a way, it refreshed us on what our dual state mission, state and federal mission, really are all about.
In general, we just recognized the 20th anniversary of 9/11 and saluted all of the troops that have served since then. And about the same time that we were doing that, Afghanistan got wound up, and we had to send some of our Minnesota National Guard troops that were over in the Middle East on a rapid response force over to Kabul, Afghanistan, to get Americans out and to get out our Afghan allies.
That's so true. That's when about the time I came to the Guard, I was active duty from 1988 to 1998. And then when I came to the Guard, after I finished C-130 training, instantly then Kosovo was a big deployment. And I went off there within a month of coming back from my C-130 school. And then shortly after that, 9/11. So I felt when I came to the Guard, I almost felt more active duty than I was when I was active duty, because I was really deploying for the first time in my life. And I'll always remember those first deployments after 9/11 in May of 2002 was our first of what would be 7 Southwest Asia deployments for myself. So it was a really watershed moment in time, and it changed a lot. And I think it changed the total force and made it what it is between active duty, guard, and reserve now, as we all came to know each other so much better and realized all our similarities were a lot more than our differences. And when we get together for a Title X type of operation, we are indiscernible and so integral to each other now.
We're speaking with Brigadier General Dan Gabrielli on Minnesota Military Radio. Sir, I understand in addition to being the Assistant Adjutant General here in Minnesota, you're currently serving as Commander of Task Force Holloman. Can you tell us what that is and how you came to be a part of it?
Yeah, certainly, Tom. It was August 24th. I remember it like it was yesterday. I was told the Air National Guard was going to be the component that was going to be in command of this task force at Holloman for Afghan resettlement. It's one of eight task forces from around the country, two of them which are Air Force, this one, and then and McGuire Air Force Base. And so I was told that guardsmen went out from the Air National Guard Bureau for the GOs and the National Guard to put in to volunteer to do the command thing here, and it was going to be a two-star command, and they needed a one-star deputy, so I put in for the deputy. Next day I found out that the two-star dropped out and their Northcom commander was okay with a one-star. And literally with one day's notice, I was flying out here, not even waiting for orders. And I tell you, it was a whirlwind experience. And 24-7 ops off the beginning, 12-hour shift back-to-back for all our airmen. In essence, what we became is so unique among the task forces because they're all so much different. Literally, we are a tent city of 850 airmen. At one time was 900. Now we're about 800 that are living in a tent city, and we're supporting a tent village about 3 miles north of the main base of right now 5,000 Afghan evacuees. And we have capacity for 5,000. And so it's been a very unique effort of deployed airmen in here away from their families, supporting a village of 4,000 Afghan evacuees. So it really came about quick, and actually now we have the designation of being the 487th Air Expeditionary Wing. So it happened fast, and everybody came in to this fight with, well, forces from all over, from over 40 different Air Force wings. We have some soldiers here as well, and rapidly built the tent city in 3 days, and the Afghan village started, the contractor started it. Within 5 days, we were receiving our first plane loads of evacuees in an incredible, highly evolving effort in an unprecedented once-in-a-lifetime mission where there's no template or playbook for this. We were literally building the airplane in flight as we went, and airman innovation was incredible. And literally, in my 33 years, this is the most fulfilling mission I've been on with the best airmen and soldiers I've ever worked with.
In general, a very important mission. We spent 20 years in Afghanistan, and there were a lot of Afghan natives that worked for the United States government, worked for the military, and were our partners or allies for those 20 years. And to be able to get some of them out of Afghanistan and out of harm's way is pretty important. And it seems to me like they've spent that much time helping us, they've kind of earned the right to come to the United States. So you've got some special guests down at Task Force Holloman.
Absolutely, Tom. These are our honored guests. We treat them as such. The majority of them have risked so much for our American security and have been so pivotal for us. And they're a very patient, resilient people who have endured much for many decades. And they found their way here, and they've been through a lot to get here. And the important thing to point out in all this is that as DOD, we are in a supporting role. It's direct support for civil authorities, which, as we know, in the Guard, we understand that role pretty well. But these are Title 10 forces from all different components that I have with me, and we are in supporting role to our lead federal agency, the Department of Homeland Security, and then we've got the Department of State and many other interagency partners and non-governmental organizations. We have about 170 of those folks here right now, and they are the ones that are the pivotal ones we are supporting to get them, our Afghan guests, through the resettlement process to start their lives in America. And so that's why I have here with me Mr. Matt McKeon. He is our lead federal agency coordinator for this whole operation. He's basically, in essence, my boss that I am supporting with my airmen. And our job is pretty much within DOD solely for the care, housing, feeding, morale, health, and welfare of these Afghan guests to not only help them survive but thrive during their time here until they reach resettlement in the United States in their new American home.
General, let's hold that thought. We're just about out of time for segment number one. When we come back, we're going to meet Mr. Matt McKeon and find out what all is going on to take care of our Afghan guests. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking with Brigadier General Dan Gabrielli who is the commander of the Task Force Holloman, and he's explained to us that he's got about 850 airmen with him down in New Mexico, and they've got almost 5,000 guests here that are former allies in Afghanistan. And, General, you were introducing us to Mr. Matt McKeon, who I understand is a federal coordinator for Holloman Safe Haven, and you're acting in support of his supervision of taking care of these guests.
Absolutely, Tom. I'm in support of Mr. McKeon. He's my boss, and I'll let him answer all the great questions about how these honored guests are being resettled in the United States.
Mr. McKeon, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom. It's great to be here and be part of this wonderful operation that we got going down here in southern New Mexico.
Sir, I understand within just days of those Afghan guests arriving, they've built an Afghanistan village in what was formerly some desert territory down there.
That's correct. That's what the military does, though, and specifically the Air Force is able to build tent cities in rapid fashion. It's part of the mission of the Air Force, and they did not disappoint in everything that they did out there. Brought in a contractor, worked closely with them, labor from the local community, and they made it happen. And it's a sight to behold.
Matt, I would imagine you've got about 4,500 former Afghan citizens picked up, left their country, came all the way to the United States. Now they're in New Mexico. Must feel strange to them, and I'm sure you're doing everything possible to make them comfortable.
Well, we are. You know, with the help of General Gabrielli's team out at the village, the interagency is doing everything we can to accelerate the citizenship process, as well as oversee the security posture, not only on an individual basis for each Afghani guest, but as well as the whole village, to ensure that we've got a safe and secure environment here for them to thrive, understand the culture of the United States. You know, we're not going to get them in the end zone in terms of everything they need to know, but we're giving them a good head start, and we're proud of that.
Sir, I'm wondering, any idea how long it's going to take to get them acclimated to being here in the United States and get them up to speed on what it's like to become a citizen and then eventually get them settled somewhere around the country?
Well, I'll take the settlement piece first. There's settlement agencies, I think there's 240 all over the country, and they're working very hard to resettle our folks, as well as folks from seven of the other safe havens. So it's normally a lengthy process, but we're trying to accelerate it. I think some money is flowing their way. They're doing some more hiring and more exploring to find out where they can, fit folks in all over the country. They're doing a fantastic job. You know, but it was not something that was planned months in advance. So they're putting it together on the fly, which, they're just doing a great job. In terms of the citizenship and getting acclimated to the United States, that's really going to take place timeline-wise on an individual basis. There's some folks that obviously already speak English. They're going to be able to hit the ground running and make it into the end zone, if you will, in terms of understanding our culture, our laws, our society, you know, how we operate, whereas others are going to take more time. So, you know, we're going to do the best we can here with the resources and the time we have available. But those resettlement agencies will then shoulder that burden along with the local communities to bring the folks along and, help them acclimate at a pretty quick pace. But you are going to see that it's going to be on an individual basis.
Sir, I'm wondering, a lot of these folks served as interpreters for our troops that were over in Afghanistan many times over the last 20 years, and they probably are quite familiar with some of our troops that served there over and over again. Are they going to get the opportunity to be reunited with some of those people that they served with?
But, you know, Tom, there is no doubt. I imagine that that's already happening through text messaging, other social media avenues. But, yes, as a matter of fact, I did work for a period of time after I retired from the military on oversaw a couple contracts where we had cultural advisors and interpreters that worked directly with the Marine Corps in Afghanistan for about 5 or 6 years. And we drew very close to those cultural advisors and translators, just working with them from afar. And I know for a fact that many of the military members, both active and retired, are going to be keeping in touch. Because, you know, you draw a very strong bond between folks in dire situations, and this is no different.
We're talking about Task Force Holloman on Minnesota Military Radio. Matt, I'm wondering, some of the basics are probably the first things you've addressed, is such as food and clothing and medical care. Some of those things must have had to set up like a small city there to make sure that we take care of all of our Afghanistan guests.
That's correct, Tom. Let me I'll very briefly walk you through how it all occurred. So as they flowed out of Afghanistan, we did a lot of security vetting, as you might imagine, as well as medical examinations to ensure that the folks, you know, that flowed out into the lily pads within the Middle East and Europe were fit to come to the U.S. Once they did that and they got to Philly or Dulles, then that was onward movement to the safe havens. While en route and while they've been here, that security process continues, as well as medical evaluations, inoculations, et cetera, so that we can get those folks ready for citizenship before they leave, you know, our safe haven here into the resettlement areas. So it started in the lily pads, but it was an iterative process that continued all the way through. And then as they got to the safe havens, we rolled on top of that the cultural learning. We have videos, lectures, educators come in from all over to try to help them prepare for their next journey.
Matt, that sounds like an enormous task to take on, but it sounds like you've been at it for a while and you're catching up, and congratulations on doing a wonderful job. General, what an incredible opportunity for you to participate in all of this work to welcome our Afghanistan allies here as guests and future citizens of the United States.
Yeah, it has. And probably the most rewarding piece of this is working with the interagency folks, but mostly working with the airmen, majority of airmen and some soldiers here, because I think what they do, the touch they have with all and the trust they've built with these Afghan evacuees has been so important from the moment they step off the airplane to taking care of their health and safety in the village. And then just being a part of their existence out here, there's a real bond that's forming between our airmen and them. And like I said, there's a lot of these folks are children in large families, and to see these kids so resilient and smiling, and we, that impression they're getting of our American military off the bat is so important. And I like to think our task force does it pretty well and creates some good trust and stability and peacefulness in the village. And they're outstanding people, and it's just our honor and privilege to help them into their new American lives.
Sir, we just got about a minute left. Is it safe to say that your airmen have taken to this mission joyfully, and they're doing a great job to welcome our guests?
Right. There's no motivation they needed for this mission, Tom. I really, for those of us that have deployed so many times over there, sort of the closure is the culmination of all we've done to be able to help them through. And I want to point out that even though we're all on Title 10 status, we have airmen from all the components, active duty, guard, reserve, and like I said, well over 40 different wings throughout the country that have come together and really are cohesive here. And it's just been a joy to work with them. Best airmen of my career.
General and Mr. McKeon, I want to thank you for taking time to join us today on Minnesota Military Radio, and great work on your mission. I wish you both all the best.
Thank you, Tom. And I just want to close by telling you that the people of Minnesota ought to be really proud of General Gabrielli and what he has done, not only for caring for his guests here, the Afghan guests, but also his airmen. It's really paid off, and I think everybody in that great state of Minnesota ought to be very proud.
Thank you, sir. That was Brigadier General Dan Gabrielli and Mr. Matt McKeon talking about Task Force Holloman on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. When we come back, we're going to talk to the Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In this part of the show, we're going to talk to the Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. We usually have a spot called the Commissioner's Corner, but we have Larry Herkey, who was appointed the 18th Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs in January 2019 in the studio. Commissioner Herkey, welcome back to the radio station.
Tom, it's great to be back in station with you today.
Good to see you, sir. The last time I think I saw you was at our 9/11 remembrance, and that was quite a day.
That was quite a day with the flyover and the folks there, and we had quite a following online, too. So it was just great to be there and celebrate 20 years of service for those veterans after 9/11.
It felt good to reflect on everything that happened over those 20 years. And, sir, we're in the studio today on Veterans Day. This will be played out next weekend. But we usually have some kind of Veterans Day remembrance, and for the last couple of years, we haven't been able to do that because of the pandemic. So you did another virtual Veterans Day.
We did. We decided to go virtual again today this Veterans Day, and it was I think it was the right move to do. We're still having some numbers going up in Minnesota as it relates to positivity. So this is a great event. It can be seen at minnesotaveteran.org. under the events area, and just describe a few of the things that are going on. We have Rocky Lynn, who is a patriotic country singer that's there and part of to kick us off. We also have quite a group of individuals, to include the governor and the congressional delegation, along with us, with also some veterans and some testimonials on what Veterans Day means to them. I think if people go to Minnesota Veteran.org, they'll find a very patriotic, and I think for me it was just great. I reviewed it twice again just before I came in, and I thought it was well done. And we had this year, we had Bill Hudson was actually the host for us this year, and did a great job emceeing and bringing everything together.
And Commissioner, we'd be remiss if we didn't talk a little bit about there's 2 days in the year that are pretty important. Memorial Day is a day to remember our service members who gave their lives in service to our country, which is, we've done it over and over and over again in the history of the United States, and it's incredible. Our troops just keep signing up, and they go where we send them, and they do what's necessary, and unfortunately we lose some. But Veterans Day is a day to remember everyone who raised their hand, took the oath, and served our country, and millions and millions of them since the origin of the United States.
I think going way back to the beginning, and that's all those veterans that are, of course, with us today and serving. Of course, we have veterans that are serving us today in our military, along with those in Minnesota, about 304,000 folks that are part of the state of Minnesota, and those are the folks that my agency is responsible for, making sure that we can get both the services that they deserve and the care that they deserve for the time that they've served.
And Commissioner, they tell us that less than 1% serve in the military these days. That means for the other 99%, they get to enjoy the freedoms of the United States. I think it's good for 1 day a year. Let's just remember those who have served and made all of this possible.
I think if people take the time and pause and just think about those, if you know somebody that served in your family or maybe your friend or a community member, I think it's a great time to reach out and tell them, not only thank them for their service, but the sacrifices that they and their families have endured as part of their service to their country. So I think that's just as important. And I know most veterans would very much appreciate that.
And, Commissioner, I'm sure that a lot of folks are doing that on Veterans Day, and I'm happy for it. I want to talk a little bit about your position, Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. You've got to take care of those over 300,000 veterans that are out there, and it's been really busy since you took over.
There's been a lot of things going on. I've been on the road quite a bit recently. We've had three groundbreakings as it relates to our new healthcare facilities, long-term care facilities in Montevideo, Bemidji, and Preston. And those facilities will have somewhere between 54 and 72 residents or veterans in them once we get them completed sometime probably in the late summer of 2023. And it's just been great to be, work with those communities and get those off the ground. I've seen pictures of them. We got the foundations in, so things are moving along.
And, sir, I have to point out, you spent 30 years in the Minnesota National Guard, and you spent a lot of time there taking care of facilities all over the state. You are uniquely experienced to help build these three homes.
I think if I fell into the right position at the right time here with the agency to be able to help them, sort of guide them as it relates to making sure we stayed in budget, that we moved the process forward, that we got the correct funding together to bring these homes to be what they are today. It's quite a skill to bring both the federal, state, and local money together all at one time and be able to submit the application so that we can move forward. And getting those federal grants was an important part of moving forward with those veterans' homes.
And they look like from the photos or the mock-ups that they're going to be some beautiful facilities.
Each one of them a little bit distinct, different. You got the Northwoods feeling up in Bemidji. You got the prairie sort of feeling and so forth. And then the third one, Preston, is actually up on a hill. So that's sort of like a hideaway kind of thing that oversees the valley near Preston, Minnesota.
We're speaking with Commissioner Larry Herkey from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs on Minnesota Military Radio. Sir, are they all going to be done about the same time? When do you expect to be finished?
I think midsummer for the first one. It's probably going to be Preston, I would guess, but each one of them have their own timeline. We could be up to, I think, Thanksgiving or Christmas time for the last one in 2023, but they're all moving ahead as we speak right now.
And, of course, you're going to add that to the other homes that you supervise as commissioner. And is that going to help alleviate the backlog? Our veterans are looking for beds?
I'm sure hoping so. You know, some of these locations, the veterans and families drive, you know, hundreds of miles to see their veterans in a state veterans home. In this case, it'll bring those homes a lot closer to the potential veterans in greater Minnesota. So I think this is important as it relates to those families to be able to have that contact. And I do believe it's going to reduce the backlog across the facilities that we currently have.
And keep our veterans closer to home, which was the object of the exercise.
That is true, Tom.
Commissioner, here in Minnesota, we're blessed to have Fort Snelling, the federal cemetery here. But over the last decade or so, you've been able to, your department, your agency has been able to open some new cemeteries for the same kind of reason for the homes, to try to keep our veterans closer to their loved ones. Can you tell us about the three that you've got up and a fourth one coming?
I can, Tom. The of course, Little Falls has been the longest lasting, starting in the 1990s as a state cemetery, which then added two opportunities within Minnesota for veterans, Fort Snelling being a federal facility and a state one at Little Falls. And it was decided by the legislature that we could expand and help veterans in greater Minnesota to have greater access. So we've actually built and have operating two additional cemeteries at this time, one in Preston and one in Duluth, and they're doing very well. In fact, Preston was an award-winning cemetery just recently. And then their newest cemetery, we just got the groundbreaking done here in October. We had the governor down and Senator Klobuchar was down along with the local veterans groups and so forth, and we were able to do the groundbreaking down in Redwood County, just outside of Redwood Falls. And that cemetery is going to be starting construction shortly and will, again, be probably in the late 2023 time period that we will get that cemetery. So we'll have four cemeteries, Tom, in Minnesota, four state cemeteries plus the federal cemetery at Fort Snelling.
And, sir, you're blessed by the fact that the gentleman that's on your staff that built the other three is probably supervising the construction of Redwood Falls.
Yes, Dave Sontex does a great job, and I know you've interviewed him before, and he does a great job coordinating the efforts. In fact, he's working on equipment and so forth for the new cemetery right now. So
I look forward to having him back on the show again sometime soon, sir. We have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk about a couple other issues that are near and dear to your heart and big on your agenda. One of them is mental health, and the other one is our homeless here in Minnesota. We're speaking with Commissioner Larry Herkey from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Well, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking today with Commissioner Larry Herkey from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. And Commissioner, ever since you took over as Commissioner and working with the Governor, you've had a couple of things that we wanted to work on. One of them was mental health and suicide prevention, and the other was homelessness. I want to talk about mental health and suicide prevention because for as long as I can remember, too many veterans have had problems with mental health, PTSD, and we lose too many of them every day to suicide.
That's correct, Tom. I think the statistics would show you that somewhere between 30 and 40% of all veterans have some type of mental health issue that needs to be resolved when they come home. Some are very easy. Some are very emotional and ingrained in the individual and take actually years to solve those issues. But I think the biggest thing with transitioning veterans is to find out who needs help and make sure the help is there for them.
And the help is available, and it's there. It's at the VA. The one thing that we've talked about, you and I, and we've talked on the show over and over, is watch for changes in your veteran. Are they doing something different? Are they drinking more than usual? Are they depressed more than usual? And ask them the question, how are you feeling? Do you need some help?
Correct. And I think that's the biggest thing is a direct confrontation and make sure that you're asking the questions directly and not trying to sort of dance around on the issue. It's important that you see those changes and that you recognize something if it changes within their life. Could be a key thing. Maybe it's they quit getting pizza on Tuesday night or something like that, or they give their dog away, something that's unique and sort of odd and different.
Trigger.
Just a trigger that puts them over the edge. And our job is to work with the groups and the different communities to be able to get people to recognize these things for us going forward.
And Commissioner, that can be a difficult conversation, but it's a lot easier conversation than coming over home and discovering that your veteran has committed suicide.
That's very true. And what I've told my staff now that we're working on it, I have my first staff member in this area. So we have a true program within the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and we work with the Department of Health because we have over 100 suicides each year in Minnesota for veterans, and that's 100 too many. And
even one's too many, Commissioner.
We need to reduce that number, and we got plans to do that over the next 5 years and to finally eliminate it by 2035.
So like we hear from Homeland Security, if you see something, say something. Only in this case, if you're a veteran struggling, let's get them some help.
That's true. That is very, very true. And there's a lot of places that can help. We have our 1-888 LinkVet, which we can provide help both to the veteran directly and the family members. There's also, of course, the federal VA, the facilities in Minnesota, North Dakota, and South Dakota that service Minnesota veterans. And then there's the vet centers in up in Duluth and also in Anoka and St. Paul, Minnesota.
Plenty of help available. We're speaking with Commissioner Larry Herkey from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs on Minnesota Military Radio. Sir, I know that you and the governor and the Minneapolis VA and MACV and there's all kinds of agencies are working together very hard to eliminate veterans' homelessness, and it's starting to get cold outside.
Well, we want to be the fourth state, Tom, to declare functional zero, and that is that not that we would have no veterans become homeless in the future, but if we do have someone that becomes homeless, it's a very rare event. It's one time, and we take care of the situation right away. And we've proven that in 7 of the 10 continuums of care within Minnesota. We just recently, Tuesday of this week, we had a chance to be with the governor and the mayor of St. Cloud, Mayor Kleiss, and we were able to, with that continuum of care, to actually do the declaration for Central Minnesota. So that was a great and proud event for my staff and for all the 55 groups that work with me, nonprofits and local governments and other state agencies that work together on this endeavor. And I'm just very proud to be part of that. We have 3 continuums of care left. Ramsey County, Hennepin County, and St. Louis County are the 3 left that we have to work on.
The big ones, sir. A lot of people working on this, and your agency created and oversees the Veterans Registry. So for our listeners, if they know of a homeless veteran, what should they do?
You can contact us through our website, minnesotaveteran.org, or you can use the 1-888 LinkVet, and you can indicate that you have a veteran that needs help that you're aware of. It might be somebody that's on your couch. Maybe it's a family member or a friend. It could be someone that you just know of. But I can tell you by getting them into the Veterans Registry, there is a lot of help and assistance, not only to find them a safe, secure housing solution, but also assistance with rental assistance, wraparound services, and to work on any barriers that the individual might have as far as financial, fiscal, legal. We can work with all of it. So that's the first step towards seeking help, is just to tell us that someone needs help.
Help fix those problems. And Commissioner, on the other side of it, I know you and the governor have been out looking for landlords to help and participate.
Tom, I need landlords. I got to find normally in a one-year period, there's 540 placements that we have. I told my staff to give me the number that I got to go for. We got to get all 540 of those, plus I need 329 additional placements, mostly in one- and two-bedroom apartments, and most of it in Ramsey and Hennepin County, although I do need also rental from landlords, rental locations throughout Minnesota. So it's not only the Twin Cities, but we are going to go for this. I'm going to go for functional zero as it relates to Minnesota, and I'm personally – you can contact us again through MinnesotaVeteran.org. It's probably the best. Or if you want to, and I put this out at the ceremony, and I'll put it out here, if you want to contact me at larry.herkey@state.mn.us, I would be love to talk to landlords. And I had the first two landlords contact me yesterday, and I appreciate it. I'll be getting back to them today to try to work something out, Tom.
And Commissioner, just to clarify, you're not asking for landlords to give you free apartments. There's funds available.
There's funds available. There's also incentives that we provide to landlords. We'll be hand in hand with you, with the veterans. If you take a chance on the veteran, we're going to be with you to make sure that you're covered and that all the issues that may come up take care of. And we'll have the wraparound services to be able to provide the counselor also for the veteran.
Very good, sir. We're just about out of time. Where can our listeners go for more information?
As usual, Tom, you can go to MinnesotaVeteran.org. That's MinnesotaVeteran, one word, .org. Or you can call 1-888-LINK-VET. And either location can get you to someone that can either assist you or help you, or if you're a landlord, to be able to give us your information.
So 1-888-LINK-VET. Your landlords, call in there and tell them you want to help. The commissioner wants to see you, and he's going to congratulate you for joining the effort. Commissioner, it's always a pleasure to see you. Thanks for stopping by the station today.
Tom, it's great to be with you, and to all the veterans, happy Veterans Day.
Thank you, sir. That was Commissioner Larry Herkey from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs on Minnesota Military Radio. Joining me now is Marty Howes, who is the president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers and the Roseau County Veteran Service Officer. Marty, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom. It's a pleasure to be here today.
Marty, we've got veterans listening all over the state, and you've got county veteran service officers in every county. If one of our former military members has some kind of issue related to their service in the military, what can they expect when they come in to see you on a first visit?
You bet. I sure do, Tom. And as always, your local county veteran service officer is the veteran's first stop to benefits. And if the veteran has never enrolled in anything, or, you know, maybe a first-timer, typically, the first thing that the CVSO is going to do is we're going to get them enrolled in VA health care, because that, whether it's an injury or what have you, your health care is number one, and we want to make sure the veterans are getting taken care of, and they usually need to bring a little bit of their information along, maybe some of their spouse's information and dependent children if there are any, and this is going to include, like, birth dates, Social Security numbers, income information from the last previous year, and it's important to know your anniversary date. So,
Marty, I hear some veterans talk about enrolling in the VA healthcare system right before they retire. I suppose they've got medical benefits while they're working, and sometimes they get turned down by the VA. Is there an alternative? Can they apply again?
Yes, that is totally true. There are some veterans that, in order for them to qualify for VA health benefits, they have to fall within guidelines set forth by the VA through what we call a means test, and it's a financial assessment for eligibility purposes. Although not every veteran is subject to this, but those that are, when they're at the end of their working career, typically you're on the higher side of the pay scale, because you're in search of that high five for retirement. that's going to make a big difference. And so sometimes a veteran, you know, we'll have them wait a year after retirement, and they can reapply as their income will, you know, naturally be lower after they're not working anymore. And then they get in, and we can get them that, they can get that care that they need.
Marty, you just got about a minute left, but quickly, I hear there's some other benefits related to Medicare and Part B. Can you touch on that?
You bet I can. One of the great things about being enrolled in the VA and using their health care system when you are retired, sometimes you aren't around the VA and you need care. Well, your Part B covers some of it. I think it's like 80-20. Most people need a supplement to cover the rest of the cost. And if you're enrolled in VA health care, you can obtain some supplements at no cost. And some of them now will even give you money back towards your Part B premium, anywhere from like $30 to $60 a month off. That's this year. Although I hear next year it'll be like $50 and $55. And so technically now if you're paying the $148.50 a month, you'd get a supplement for free, and your Part B premium would be reduced to about $88 a month. So, you know, with the new increases, I haven't worked that math out because we don't have solid numbers yet. But either way, that keeps money in the veteran's pocketbook, and, you know, that's always a good thing.
Very good, Marty. For our listeners, check with your county veteran service officer about Medicare Part B. Marty, thanks for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom. It was a pleasure to be here.
This is Marty Howes, the president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Brigadier General Dan Gabrielli, Matt McKeon, Marty Howes from the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers, Commissioner Larry Herkey, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Sean Mankey. Please join us next week as we get an update from the Commander's Task Force and celebrate our 600th show. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at Minnesota Military Radio.com.